Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your host, Ryan Dangle.
You picked a tie? What are we, in Europe?
Soccer? We can, ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right? Yeah, dude, why? Why are we doing? No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of shit was today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flus over there.
I'm not Captain Flus.
So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah, wow.
Show,
maybe no, I have talent. Is that what we find out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, hey man, like, do you take out of these situations, like, what is it like to know that, like, you're this blob, that, like, these videos are going viral? And he was just like, I don't do it for that attention. And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again.
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shea McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Now, I am your host, Ryan Dangle. Bears lose again, this time in embarrassing fashion. I got nothing fun to say about it. This is not fun to talk about this team that's on their seventh consecutive loss. So with that, let's bring in the assistant editor of Bears Wire. That's Brendan Chagrou. If you want to find Brendan on Twitter, it's at Brendan Chagrou. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. I'm also going to bring to the stage Jack Wright. If you want to find Jack on Twitter, it's at Bear Down Jack. Now, folks, if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Ryan Dangle. That's D-E-N-G-E-L. For all of you that are watching us live on YouTube, yes, I already know my internet sucks, but if you listen on the audio only, I don't think you hear anything other than just pure Dangle voice. I don't know what else. I was going to make something smooth, but there's nothing smooth about any of this. Boys, how are we feeling about this garbage, huh?
Guys, I just want to say cheers to another losing season. This is the fourth in a row. There you go, Jack. You're indulging.
Lancha.
Slancha, fourth losing season in a row. It's been over a decade since we've had more than one winning season. Yeah, this sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize it was that. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's down. It's definitely down. It's super frustrating. I think, you know, it was like a year of high hopes. And so to be at this point is, it's very disappointing, extraordinarily disappointing.
Let's thank some people because, folks, I'm sure for all of you that are hanging out, and I want to just say, Matt, thank you for being the first person to throw in a comment. Not great, Bob. Absolutely well said. We got some people we want to thank because we're going to go way off the rails today. And if it's fine with everybody, I want to make this a shorter episode because I'd rather do something more productive with my Sunday, like sit my ass on my couch. I think that's way more productive than talking about this god-awful football team. With that being said, let's talk about my guy, our guy, your guy, Jeff Cadwallader with SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate. Look, if you're looking to grow your business, go to a new spot, if you have commercial real estate questions, if you've got any real estate questions, there's really only one person you should be talking to. That's our guy, Jeff Cadwallader, SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate. Hop on jeffcre.com or give him a call at 630-254-4734. You can give him a call, give him a text. Either way, if you do, let him know the guys at the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Say hello and maybe save us from this misery.
Then if you need a haircut, you know where to go. Sheridan's Barbershop, a cornerstone of the Wheaton community since 1954, is where old school charm meets modern style. It's located in the heart of historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois. They've got six master barbers ready to keep you looking sharp. Sheridan's is open Monday through Saturday, so it's easy to fit a fresh cut into your schedule. With appointments available online or by phone, you can head to sheridansbarbershop.com or you can call 630-668-0137 and book your appointment today. If you're not in the Wheaton area, but you're closer to Naperville, then you head over to downtown Naperville to Hensel's Barbershop. It's been a local favorite since 1966, offers the same unbeatable service with a crew of six skilled barbers. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. They've got you covered with walk-ins and appointments online alike. So whether you need a quick cleanup or a full transformation, Hensel's has got you covered. Sheridan's and Hensel's Barbershops, where traditional meets modern.
All right, so I want to throw this one out here. I think it's like perfectly set up. Matt, first comment, and also the first one that's going to set up a true or false. Really thought Poles was the guy to get this thing turned around. Not so sure now, which just coincidentally, boys, I've got this one ready for you. True or false, Ryan Poles should be fired. I am very anxious to hear your thoughts on this one, guys. The King Poles thing is that's not sitting well with me right now. And when I posted something about Ryan Poles being on the hot seat today, people walking out to defend him, like telling me that I'm an idiot. Man, I don't know about this one. For this, true, false, Ryan Poles should be fired. Let's go Brendan, Jack, and I will finish it up, boys.
It's a fair question. It absolutely is fair. And at some point, the finger gets pointed at the GM after, it was the quarterback before with Justin Fields. It was Luke Getsy. It was Shane Waldron. It was Matt Eberflus. It was Alan Williams for a hot minute back, a year and a half ago or so. At some point when the losing continues to happen, the blame falls to the general manager and he's the next guy in line here. I will say at this point in time, just because we still have four games to go, I will say false because part of me thinks that he should have one more chance to pick the head coach. He knows he's on thin ice. If you watch the press conference with him and Kevin Warren, you absolutely know he knows he's on thin ice because of just his demeanor, how soft-spoken he was. He basically looked like a child next to his father. And then I use the meme where the guy, I can't remember his name. I know people are going to clown me for it, but he's basically going over on the computer and taking care of things while the other guy sits in the back kind of looking scared and, shell shook. But look, yeah, I just think there needs to be questions and we'll see what happens over these next four games, because right now after the firing of Flus, things are very disjointed with Thomas Brown. I think it's very clear that this staff was not prepared for that. And these players weren't prepared for it either. And that falls to the feet of Ryan Poles. So at this point in time, I'm going to say false, but I guess can change my answer once the season ends to see how far this team continues to fall.
I guess I'm going to say false. And then I'm also going to say that on some levels, it doesn't matter. In my opinion, the one consistent theme that this team has displayed year in and year out since 2011, when George McCaskey took over, and then previous to that, Michael McCaskey, is that the McCaskey family has no idea how to run an organization and, create a team that has sustained success. I would say the only guy in the building that shows probably any sense of what it means to like be in a championship football organization is probably Ryan Poles. He saw it at Kansas City. He's not afraid to make big moves. He brought in Montez Sweat. If there's BDE, big new energy in the building, it's from Ryan Poles. And he's done it with draft picks. He's done it with trades. He's certainly had some misses. But my kind of, supposition, I don't really have anything to prove this, is that ultimately every decision that Ryan Poles makes, he's doing, like, I know you can't see me on the audio, but he's kind of looking over his shoulder like, hey, George, is that okay? Is that what you want? No. Okay. So Flus or no Flus? Like Flus stays, Flus goes. When do we fire Flus? So I just think like it doesn't matter who the OC is. Doesn't matter who the head coach is. Doesn't matter who the GM is. The one thing that doesn't change in this particular organization is that George McCaskey runs it. And I think and we can talk about it a little bit later based on some sources that I've had from the inside, that George gets what George wants. And I think the reason that Poles looks like he was gutted is because Poles is out there standing out front as if he's the one that's making all of these choices when it's George that's making these choices. You ever work in a situation where you know what to do and you know how to do it, and all you need to do is like be given the autonomy to do it, but you're always looking over your shoulder because your name's not on the door? And the only thing, like, last thing I'll say about this is, I don't know this for a fact. I don't know how much Poles has had autonomy in this system. But the one fact I know is that the folks that own the team, the name that's on the door, that hasn't changed. So we can change GMs, and we can, and we've done it. Like, I think we're all living a bit of a dream as Bears fans, right? We're going to start going down this road again about talking about the new head coach, getting the new head coach right. Should Poles be fired? Shouldn't he be fired? Is Caleb Williams the right guy? Is he not the right guy? Guys, right? Like, think about it. Like, we've just been doing this freaking endlessly. Like, for 30 years, we've been doing this. What's the one thing, the insurmountable fact that hasn't changed, is the fact that George died, left the team to Virginia, and she handed the team over to her sons, who have no capabilities, who have shown, proven no ability to be able to have sustained success. So I just think, like, from a macroscopic thing, like, we can, let's still have conversations about the other topics. I'm not just saying case closed, cut and dry, but I just don't think, like, I don't think it necessarily matters who it is that gets put in that seat next, GM, who gets put in the head coach's seat next. When you are so colossally, galactically dysfunctional, and you've proven that time and time again, from the stadium to the head coach hirings to flying people in coach to not going out to Arlington Heights and building a stadium yesterday. I mean, it's an endless litany of factual proof that these folks don't know what they're doing.
The Arlington Heights thing, man, we haven't talked about that at all because there's been so much other dysfunction that's been going on. Jack, you're right. That's one. It's like, you settled the thing with the schools. Like, they're going to build in Arlington Heights. You can talk all you want about going to Chicago. It's not happening. You're building in Arlington Heights. Just do it. Get it over and done with. Like, put shovels in the ground right now. That putting aside, Jack, I love your, especially because you gave me some insider information, and I appreciate you. And I know you can't share everything because we got to keep those sources sacred. But I will say this, it's not just the coaching situation. I mean, that one is, I think, one of the most egregious, but some of the players that he signed that we were super excited about, me personally, Tremaine Edmonds, that dude is bad. He got exposed every single way possible, and that contract is looking worse and worse and worse. And so, you know, it's not just a matter of coaching staff, which, you know, hiring Shane Waldron and keeping Matt Eberflus was just an abysmal situation, but you're right. That may not be entirely on him. Now I'm hearing conflicting rumors, and I don't know, Brendan, I want to hear what you've heard, because I've heard two very different things. One, that Ryan Poles wanted to keep Matt Eberflus after the Detroit loss, and that he wanted to fire him after the New England game. I've heard both things from people that don't just throw information around. And so, man, I don't know what to believe anymore. And Jack, and I think your point is incredibly well made, that this whole organization stinks from top to bottom.
I've heard more that Poles wanted to get rid of Eberflus earlier, that was something that was just more so on the table for whatever reason, whether it was McCaskey, whether it was Warren. I mean, that's up for debate, but I haven't really necessarily heard the rumors about him wanting to still keep him after Detroit. It seems like that was sort of the final call, and, you know, it was just a matter of time after that Patriots loss, which was still potentially maybe worse than this one that we just witnessed against the 49ers. There's a lot of stuff coming out, and especially depending on who hired who when it comes to, like, coaches. You know, was that more of a Ryan Poles hire? Was that more of a Matt Eberflus hire? I tend to think that's more of a Poles hire, which could explain the answer why, if you're going back to the press conference, which feels like a month ago already, back last Monday, Ryan Poles was asked about Shane Waldron, and he paused for like a good 8 actual seconds before he answered. And he really didn't know how to answer it. I tend to believe that that was because that was more Ryan Poles wanting Shane Waldron, and he feels like he failed his rookie quarterback with that. So that's another mark against him. I mean, you talked about Tremaine Edmonds, some of the contracts being signed. I mean, his first wave of free agency was both inconsequential, but it also didn't move the needle at all. Like, you're talking about the failed signing of Larry Ogunjobi, throwing peanuts and guys like Byron Pringle and Equanimeous St. Brown and Nicholas Morrow and blah, blah, blah. I mean, the list goes on. It kind of feels like when you stack everything up against one another, he does have more misses than hits. The biggest thing, though, going for him is that Panthers trade, which did net him DJ Moore, Caleb Williams. That's kind of a saving grace. If you take that out of the equation, it's not a great tenure. And especially when you talk about the coaches. So yeah, I get it.
The one thing that I am a broken record, Jack, Brendan, I apologize sincerely, is the offensive freaking line. He set this dollar amount and he's like, I'm not going to go over that dollar amount. And we're seeing this, right? Like, we're seeing the repercussions of this. Nate Davis, it was his big offensive line free agent signing. Like, I went from Bears are 4-2 to, man, Ryan Poles is going to bring us an NFL championship to, man, I don't think this dude should have a job. I didn't answer the true or false. I think true. I think he should be able to finish out the remainder of this regular season because that's what the Bears organization does, let people finish out the season. But no, I think he should be let go. But Jack, to your point, your excellent freaking point, they're going to hire the wrong guy again. You know what I mean? Maybe Ryan Poles, maybe he's a halfway decent GM, but I think the scales have tipped from him being the more good to bad to, I think it's more bad than good. And I just, you know, but the Bears will bring in the right guy for the GM and they'll hire the wrong guy. Then they'll bring in the right guy for the head coach and they'll hire the other guy. Cause that's what they do, to your excellent point, Jack.
Hold on, Jack. Sorry, real quickly. If you do get rid of Poles, you're then just doing the exact same freaking thing that you did with Justin Fields with Caleb Williams, and you're sending this rookie quarterback who is supposed to be your future with a brand new head coach GM combo. It's the same circle of suck that we do every single freaking time.
Right.
So, right.
Just keep him, even if he sucks. Just keep him for the sake of keeping him. That's the same argument that we had for Matt Eberflus. Well, we need a consistency, and he needs to be able to have time to build. He was the wrong freaking guy. And so we hold on to people to give them an opportunity to show that they're not the wrong guy when all along they've been the wrong guy. I don't understand that.
Well, but again, I think, like, whose purview is all of this under? If the 100%. Sequence is constantly off, as Brendan has documented so many times, and like we've said, we've seen it on YouTube and the national media in terms of the sequencing of the quarterback and the GM and the first round draft pick and et cetera, et cetera. Again, and I don't want to start sounding like Grandpa Simpson here and just like, well, again, like, this is the only thing that matters and this is the only thing that will change the team. But like, quite honestly, like, if the crap stinks, it stinks, you know? And so I'm not going to like pound the table for Ryan Poles, but I'll ask you guys a question. Like, do you think Ryan Poles, having seen what he saw in Andy Reid, having seen what he saw in Kansas City, do you think he's going to hire Flus and continue to like back Flus over time? Or if he's given full autonomy to hire a coach, do you think he's going to go after someone like Jim Harbaugh? Again, I think like Montez Sweat and like some of the other like folks like DJ Moore or the Keenan Allen pick or, you know, or taking Caleb Williams, the only guy that's shown any semblance of understanding like what big boy NFL like looks like is Ryan Poles. The only guy who's ever gotten the cap right or the draft right in any way, shape or form in my like since 85, I suppose, is Ryan Poles. And again, I'm not going to carry all the water for him. Your points were great. He's made some egregious mistakes. And if those mistakes are on him solely, then that's fine. But I just got to wonder, like, what is his work environment like? Like, to what extent is he being given the opportunity to shape this team in a way that he knows it's going to work? Because the one guy that continually shapes the team in ways that it doesn't work, again, and we cannot deny the factual evidence of it, 100%. Is that Jordan McCaskey's name is on the wall. and George gets what George wants. And I just think like the idea that clearly this guy has, he's not had the ability to put his hubris aside, to put whatever, his wealth and white privilege aside, and say, what I've been doing, what we've been doing as ownership over all of this period of time, it's clearly not working time and time again. And while I don't want to take my hands off the wheel, I would like for this team to be good and I would like for them to be successful. But he's not willing to take that risk. And if that's because there's a bunch of McCaskies, 50 plus, who knows how many McCaskies are employed by the Bears, right? And if it's a nest egg and they continue to make money hand over fist year over year, seats keep going up, PSLs keep going up. There's radio deals, there's TV deals. There's they sell you shit the entire time you're at the game, and they just keep rolling out the same product, basically, in one shape or another. And we just keep going. Like, we're just like, you know, Ryan used the word, we're religiously devoted to this team. And I'll just say me, I feel like an idiot. I feel like a total idiot because the one thing that's not changed is this, is that those guys' names are on the door.
Can we peel back the curtain just for a second? I mean, the fact that we posted this episode 45 minutes before, there was some real debate whether or not we were going to have this thing. This is work. Like, I love the people that are hanging out with us, the 300 plus people that are watching this show right now, the people that constantly interact with us, the people who, hey, the Bear Down Chicago podcast was my number one podcast listened to on Spotify. Thank you. Freaking thank you. But simultaneously, man, like, I'm running around chasing my kids all day long. My wife worked the night before. I'm freaking exhausted, and I would love to just sit my ass on my couch right now instead of talking about the seventh consecutive loss to this fucking dysfunctional fucking organization that I'm so fucking sick of that I don't fucking swear, and you got me fucking swearing my fucking mind out in this fucking episode because I'm fucking done with them. And I fucking can't. I can't do it anymore. Like, just cheer for this team that endlessly was like, they know. I think that's the thing, Jack. McCaskey knows what he's doing. Like, he's not an idiot. Maybe he's okay, a little bit of an idiot, but he's smart enough to know that Bear fans like me will continually buy their shit and show up and podcast about it and get riled up and yay, let's go Bears to watch this shit fall apart a fucking again. And I'm really sorry for all of you who've known this as a no swearing podcast, but I couldn't do it tonight. Sorry.
I mean, I don't know, Brendan. Is that just like, is that a defeatist, cynical, go nowhere type of attitude? I mean, I guess I think like I saw it with my White Sox, and I just chose, like, as a grown ass adult to, like, you know, begin to put my efforts elsewhere and my interests elsewhere until either Reinsdorf dies or sells the team, because it seems so clearly obvious, right, that I'm just being monetized ultimately by the Chicago White Sox. Like, if I didn't love baseball and football so much, this would be a really easy choice to make. And if the Bears hadn't been embedded in our family's lives and in my kids' lives, and, you know, sitting there on, like I said before, sitting there on the carpet with my now dead dad, you know, like, watching the game and watching the 85 Super Bowl, like, I want to love it. I want to be religiously devoted. I think those folks that listen to us know that we generally tend to be positive. We generally just tend to break down the Bears and, like, you know, look for, like, little instances that they might be improving and the arrow is going up. But again, I was sitting in that Minnesota game and I just thought to myself, like, man, what are we all doing here? Like, this is essentially not changed.
The Minnesota game really broke you. It really did.
It really did.
Like, that was the turning point for you.
It really did.
I kind of felt the same way during the Patriots game. I was just sitting there and, you know, I was with some friends. Jack, you know how bad it was? I was talking about work because I was with one of my work friends and we were talking about, like, just, oh yeah, like, well, we're going to be going on a trip. Like, who do you, just stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm talking business while watching the Bears get their ass kicked by the New England Patriots. And that's just sort of where the mind's at. So I do get it. And I mean, maybe I'm slightly more optimistic because I think they are taking some changes to actually, or, you know, some attempts to try and get better, like hiring Kevin Warren. I mean, Kevin Warren hasn't done anything yet to exactly, you know, ingratiate himself to say that he is definitely going to be the guy to turn things around. I was encouraged that at the very least, George McCaskey sat his ass all the way back at the press conference. He didn't touch the dais with Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles. It was their show. And more specifically, it was Kevin Warren's show. Kevin Warren was finally the guy to come in and say, all right, we have to get this right. This cannot be handled the same way again. I was encouraged at the very least because he handled it better than Ted Phillips. But I mean, that's not a high bar to clear exactly. So that's not exactly the best ringing endorsement. But there's some hope that they can get better. But to your point, think of the best or the organizations that have undergone significant transformations. The Commanders. What happened? Dan Snyder left. Josh Harris comes in. And suddenly they're actually getting things right. It's a much better culture. All of that. The Tom Ricketts is not a great owner, okay? He can do things a lot better. But you know what? The Tribune sold. Tom Ricketts comes in, gets the Cubs, and then a few years later, they win the freaking World Series. Like, change in ownership does mean a lot.
The McCaskies aren't selling this. There's so many of them. They're not selling this. And then, Brendan, you know I love you. And I love your optimism because that's what, you know, Logan and I, when we did the episode, just the two of us, I was like, we're going to have fun and we're going to be optimistic about this. Kevin Warren? You mean the guy that has obliterated this stadium deal where shovels should be in the ground right now? And he's, oh, we're going to go spend time in Chicago. And then the governor of Illinois is like, no, you're not. We're not paying a dime for this. And Arlington Heights is like, hey, come back. And he's like, nah, we're not coming back. This dude is brought in for that, and he's messed it up. Like, it continues the insane dysfunction. There's nobody that's doing a good job for this organization right now. Maybe Caleb Williams. Maybe.
Tony Medlin, yeah.
Tony Medlin runs a great coat drive, yep. People. Yep. He is so good at that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Undeniable.
Fair.
By the way, Ryan, look, part of the reason for the Arlington Heights issue, the Bears don't have cash. The McCaskies don't have cash. They can't just build everything. They want to, but like that's part of the reason why Kevin Warren's moving things around. I don't think it's perfect by any means, and it's definitely not gone the way that I thought or you thought or anybody really thought it was going to go. But putting the stadium part aside, Kevin Warren has been a part of successful organizations. He's been a part of multiple organizations. He's seen a lot of football. He's turned the Big Ten Conference into a powerhouse before he left. I still think with him in charge, working with Ryan Poles, assuming he's not fired, and I know I went back and forth a little bit on thinking like, well, I don't want to fire him yet. I want to see him run out the season. I worry about the whole cycle of getting people on the same page. That's another conversation though. I have hope that he can still get it right. Because for once, this team will have somebody other than Ted Phillips overseeing a head coaching hire. And I give Kevin Warren a lot more credit for the football that he's seen and the, you know, deals that he's done and working with the organizations that he's worked with. It's not the greatest, but at least it's better than what it's been. Is that going to be good enough, though? I truly don't know.
I mean, did Ben Johnson just say the quiet part out loud? I mean, that's people got so pissed off about that. And again, I do think that's representative of the ways in which, you know, there is a religious devotion to this team, right? Because people got all butthurt about that. But it was like, yeah, you know what? Maybe you should go through a reconciliation, Bears. Like, because what exactly is going on in your organization? Mm-hmm. You know, like maybe you should make sure that you get your house in order here before, you know, you try to go after someone, you know, like me. Because, I mean, Ryan Dangle and I had a conversation about how Matt Nagy might have been successful, like, in a different set of circumstances in a different organization. I mean, I just don't think like there's any sense of like the holistic support I'll just back it up one more time and I'll kind of like go off of this because I really don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's like, so like who is to blame then? Like if there is like years of like a lack of success, are we going to blame Trestman? Are we going to blame Jay Cutler? Do we blame Shane Waldron? Do we blame Ryan Pace? Do we blame, like, how many people do we get to name here that we're going to say, oh, it's these people's fault? I mean, is it just happenstance that none of those people were successful? You know, I don't think it is. It's not happenstance. I used to think to myself, you would think that the Bears would just like a, you know, like get lucky out of nowhere here, right? And maybe, you know, get like the Michael Jordan, you know, or the Phil Collins of coaching, or right? But they haven't even done that. They've not even got so lucky since Walter Payton to get an elite athlete or an elite coach that would like elevate them to the point of like a Patty Mahomes or a, or an MJ, or, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, that was my hope for Thomas Brown, that they would back into it, but
yeah, right.
It came out flat.
Like, whoa, look at this.
Flat. That was so bad. I was wrong. I'll admit it, and I'm okay with doing this. I was wrong. I thought Thomas Brown, that they would have a surge in energy, and instead the defense laid an unbelievable egg. Shanahan's offense is good, and the Bears defense is butt cheeks bad. Like, they're so terrible. The roster is thin. I want to come back to Jack, to your point. I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask. Did y'all watch Thursday night football between the Lions and the Packers? It was probably the best Thursday night football game ever. And you know what? The thing that stood out to me was the graphic of the three kings of the North, right? You know, showing those records. And then the stuffed bear, right? That they went out of their way to show, like the really bad CGI stuffed bear that's like hanging in the room. And one part of me goes, oh, the McCaskey's going to see this and they're going to get so embarrassed. And so, no, they're not. They don't care. They don't care. We're going to have a good football team. And it's just, they don't care. They do not care, because people are still buying tickets. They're still making money. And Brendan, you're right. They don't have a lot of cash sitting on hand, but they got that steady flow that continues to come in because of suckers like us.
They care. They definitely care about getting embarrassed. I mean, the Thanksgiving game was massive, but you know, like we've seen it so many times, you can tear down something, but can you properly build it back up? Shown they can't.
Good point. Yeah.
Also, I was laughing earlier because Jack, I think you combined Phil Jackson and Doug Collins to say Phil Collins.
I think I did.
That was fantastic.
I was just going to go with it. Phil Collins is amazing.
No, that was great.
Just as a quick total sidebar, nothing Bears related. Jack and I are in a staff meeting, and our boss, she's amazing. She is amazing. And she's, you know, just like sometimes she'll play music as like we're getting ready to have the meeting. You know, just having fun. She's not like, you know, the word is synergy. Like it's not like that. But she's playing In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins. And right before the solo, the only part for listening to that whole damn song, she turns it off and starts talking. And I'm like, what are you doing?
She musically blue balled you.
Thank you. Right? Yeah, I dropped a couple of F-bombs. This whole thing is off the rails. Whole thing's off the rails. Again, we don't swear on this show very much, but I did, so I apologize for that. You know what, boys? I think I already know the answer to this, true, false, but I'm going to throw it up there regardless. If you're in the comment section still hanging out with us, I would appreciate it greatly. True, false, the Bears will not win another game this season. Let's go, Jack, Brendan, and I will finish it up.
All right. Remind me who they freaking play. Seattle. Who else? They got Minnesota again. They got Detroit again and Green Bay again.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, Seattle just trounced Arizona today, right? I mean,
Jared Goff in December.
David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs don't care.
I think Dan Campbell's smart enough. I think one of the cool things we've seen about the NFL this year is the way that great coaches pivot their entire game plans given certain circumstances, whether it be the weather or the acumen of the defensive opponent, or if the secondary happens to be really good at covering the pass, then they're like, well, that's fine, we'll just grind it on the ground and like run it down your throats. So yeah, true, they're not gonna win another game.
Brendan?
I don't know. I mean, I want to say false just because I feel like they'll luck into something. I think the Bears needed to kind of get this one out of the way to at least figure out what system they're going to be. Like, you know, in terms of like the function, who's going to do what? Because Caleb Williams in his press conference basically said, yeah, everybody was doing new jobs this week. And it was a complete, I mean, he didn't say this, but essentially it was a complete cluster. You have Thomas Brown on the field now. He's calling the head. He's becoming the head coach. Now you put Chris Beatty as the offensive coordinator. Eric Washington's calling plays. He hasn't done that before. And, you know, I think there is hope that there's going to be at least one more win, like a fluke win somehow. So screw it. I'm being positive tonight. I'll say false. They'll win one more game. Who knows? Maybe it will be the Lions because Jared Goff can't throw in cold weather. And then everybody's going to be like, what the hell is this team? They haven't won for like almost 3 months. And here you go.
But wait, what about the draft picks? And what about the tanking? And they're
that's the other thing. If they're losing,
then they could be the ninth pick. And then that's going to be everything that changes this franchise forever.
And then they'll pick. I'm so sick of that. They'll pick at least one of the wrong players. Though, you know, I'm backpedaling here and I'm okay with doing it. Ryan Poles brought you Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, and those two are freaking fun. All the bad, and there was a lot of bad in this. Caleb's, both his touchdowns to Rome Odunze were amazing for different reasons. One in the right corner, just a perfect spot in the ball, and Rome to get both feet in. I turned to my wife and said, no, he didn't catch that. He didn't get both feet in. He did. And the other one, over the top of the linebacker in the perfect spot for his receiver. So I give him major props for getting that, but also too, like, I don't think you can mess it up. Like Caleb Williams, that one, the Bears will not win. No, they're not going to win another game. That is absolutely true. There's no shot. This is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, but at least we can watch Caleb Williams throw some really nice touchdown passes. So we got that going for us, which is nice.
It's the one thing that's undeniable, right? In this hellscape of, I mean, people that want to like start again doing this whole like Fields versus Jaden Daniels. Like, I mean, honestly, like, can you believe the season that this guy has had? Like, in this, like, you know, 1,000% dumpster fire of an organization, like, he's good. And I think if he had gone to, I mean, that with Washington or any other like halfway, you know, competent organization, like, there would be zero question. I think his arm talent and strength and his accuracy and his, you know, his ability to like, I know he takes a lot of sacks, but I think he, do you guys buy that? They said today that like he takes the sacks to avoid the turnovers. I don't know if I like that explanation. You think that's a good one?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's hesitant to kind of throw downfield sometimes. He's gotten more willing to do it over the last few weeks. He definitely didn't want to do it for the final Shane Waldron games. But yeah, he's eating the sack to force to avoid throwing like a long pick or something. But you know what? Like, you got to take maybe a little more chances. If it's a long third down, you might as well throw it because then it's an arm punt. And instead, you're just, you know, getting yourself beat up. The thing I am encouraged, of course, by what Caleb Williams is doing. I think he had another 120 plus QB rating, maybe just a little less.
He did, yeah.
But you want to see more of it in the first half. This is now two games in a row where he essentially did virtually nothing in the first half. And then finally in the second half, he gets going once the Bears kind of let up a big lead. So you just want to see things click a little bit faster to feel good about actually getting a lead because of Caleb Williams. And it's not just him. I think some of the play calls were suspect. They weren't running the ball as much. There were drops. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, passes hitting him in the chest, just falling to the ground. You can't have that. So, you want to see like the complete operation get much better. But yeah, like the way that he's responding and finding himself as the game goes on, that's still encouraging.
Boys, before we get to things we missed, I'm going to ask you one question, point blank. Do you have any confidence that this team will hire the right head coach, an offensive coordinator, defensive, the right coaching staff next season to bring you a winning franchise?
No, none. I think I made myself clear. I think as long as George is the final say, which I do believe he is the final say, that I think there, again, is a proven track record of an inability to select a candidate that, you know, might may in any way be like controversial or edgy or have some swagger, which, by the way, all oftentimes equates to what is needed in a head coach to have that level of charisma combined with, you know, intelligence and acumen and football knowledge. And, you know, you obviously got to have that stuff too. But I think on top of that, you know, you look at the great coaches in the NFL and they also have, you know, that BDE that goes along with, you know, like all of that great experience and wherewithal and hiring good assistants and just don't, you know what I mean? I think that, here's what I'm going to predict. We're going to see some sort of like, who knows what it's going to be this time. If they're going to be like hire, outsource it and hire a bunch of, you know, contract a bunch of professionals and experts to come in and like do the vetting and all that type of nonsense, or if they're just going to keep it in house, they're going to have what, 3 to 5 candidates possibly. And we're going to probably try to sit around and predict who it might be. But we won't be able to predict it because like what we see and want isn't what George McCaskey sees and wants. And that's just repetitive. And I just don't think there's any doubt about that. It is Missouri. It's the show me state for me now. You got to show me. You got to show me in some way, shape, or form that you can break this model that you've produced and committed to, or I'm just not believing otherwise.
I have some confidence, and here's why. Because in this team's I'll say recent history, because look, I go back to the early 2000s. That's kind of when my historical knowledge begins. Just shows my age. But guys like Jerry Angelo and Ryan Pace, once they had their second head coach or they had full control over it, they got it right. And while we can look back and say Matt Nagy was not the best Bears head coach, he still was probably the best hire of that period. He was the guy. Ryan Pace and Ted Phillips did the process right. They vetted all these guys. They traveled to them. They made sure that they went through all the checks and balances to make sure they got their guy. I mean, that was the same year that Matt Patricia went to Detroit, I believe. And then Josh McDaniels was going to Indy and then backed out and they had to get Frank Reich and all of that. The Matt Nagy years were decent. The Lovie Smith years with Jerry Angelo were good. I think when you do get to a GM that gets a second chance to get a head coach, it's never like a great thing, but at the very least, it's kind of like, okay, this is my reputation now. I have to get this right. With Kevin Warren there, he has not, as I said before, he has not shown me that he cannot hire a head coach yet because he has not gotten the chance to. So for him right now, for better or for worse, I am giving him that one benefit of the doubt. We'll see what happens. And there's some good candidates out there. I am actually excited about a good amount of these candidates. Ben Johnson, we've talked a lot about. He seems to check every single box. And I love that he's questioning the process, Jack, like you mentioned. I saw some people saying, well, this guy can't call the shots like that. Excuse me, if you are interviewing for a job, you should ask those questions. You should ask, why wasn't this person successful in this role before? What is your infrastructure like? Because you are interviewing them just as much, if not more, than they are interviewing you. So yes, please ask those questions, and they better have a damn good answer to get the right guy. Also, I'll say I like guys like Joe Brady. I know Ryan and I talked a little bit about it last week. I like Joe Brady. I think Liam Cohen's shown something. I'm very interested to see if there's going to be any buzz about Zach Robinson, although the Falcons offense hasn't looked good. Like, the point is, there are guys out there, and I, for right or wrong, I think that Kevin Warren knows now what this team needs, along with Ryan Poles, to now get the most out of Caleb Williams to make sure that this team becomes a winner. I will say, though, a lot of these players that Poles assembled, talking about whether he's done a good job or not, like, the fact that they came out so flat today after all the effing bitching they did and all the talking they did about, well, we needed to change and we needed a culture change. You always see an interim head coaching bump, guys.
Always.
Like, it's very rare that you don't get that, at the very least for one game or so. this got effectively worse this week with Thomas Brown. And maybe it was them thinking that Brown was ready and he really wasn't. Maybe it was just on the players for not giving a shit. Who knows? But to me, if anything, like the biggest thing that stands out from this game is the players' effort and preparedness for this game. And I question whether the core guys, aside maybe from Caleb Williams and maybe a small handful of others, I question whether they have that winning mentality to make sure that they can stay on this team for when they are hopefully ready to win.
I'll just say it again. They'll bring in the right guy and they'll hire the wrong one. That's what they do. It's what they've always done since Lovie Smith. They'll bring in the right person and they'll hire the wrong person because they're committed to whatever milquetoast candidate that they have is. They don't know what they're doing. They have no semblance of what they're doing.
Who was the wrong guy in 2018 though?
Let me just say this. Liam Cohen. Like you just talk about Liam Cohen. Like, you know that he interviewed for the Bears offensive coordinator position. Like, I just, like, it just further reiterates my point. No, you're right. You know what? Maybe Matt Nagy was. Maybe Matt Nagy was, if he had Ryan Poles, maybe they were having a different conversation. I don't know. But what I will tell you is that Bruce Arians was the right guy. Dan Quinn was the right guy. All of these hires that Matt Eberflus, Mark Trestman, that you thought were like, this is our guy. They don't know what they're doing. That you almost every other offensive coordinator that you brought in for an interview, you could have brought that guy in and you would have had a better shot than what Shane Waldron brought to the table. These guys don't know what they're doing. They have no semblance of what they're doing. And to think that they've magically figured it out is just, Brendan, I love your optimism. I'm not trying to stomp on you, dude, because you are a smart ass dude and you know Chicago Bears football exceptionally well. But dude, in this one, I don't know what you're seeing, man. I don't know what you're seeing because the history has shown that they have no clue what they're doing. And if they have any semblance, right, they'll sell the team, but it's never gonna happen.
I mean, is there any doubt that they should hire an offensive minded head coach? If they don't hire an offensive-minded head coach, aren't we just essentially – because that's confirmation bias, right? Unless that defensive-minded head coach like has an ace in the hole offensive coordinator. But, I mean, the bottom line is like there's no way that this is going anywhere. It's not like an established team like Baltimore where you can have a defense or, you know, defensive-minded head coach because, you know, you've got, you know, a brilliant former Knox College graduate. Shout out Knox College in the box, you know, calling the plays, right? So you want to develop Caleb and you want to develop Rome and you want to develop the offense, right? I guess it's a question I'm asking, I suppose. You've got to hire an offensive-minded head coach, don't you? Finally, yes?
I mean, you just go back and forth. You literally go back and forth. I mean – offensive guru and then culture setter and then offensive guru, culture setter, blah, right. Blah, blah, blah. My internet did not like that. You just go back and forth. So I want a guy. I do think they should go offense. I really do, Jack. At the same time, though, I want a guy who can hire a competent staff and build in succession plans like a Sean McDermott, like a Mike Tomlin, like a John Harbaugh. They are out there. But I think if you're talking about getting – there you go.
That's awesome, man.
If you're talking about – yeah, if you're talking about finding somebody who can get the most out of this young quarterback and set him up to be the future that you think that he can be for the next decade or so, you should go for the offense guy. But you have to make sure that, like I said, he can build a staff and he has enough connections to bring in guys to – you know, run the defense because you just can't have a situation where you're giving up like 35. You can't have a situation like the Bengals where Joe Burrow is absolutely amazing. He's having an MVP caliber season and they can't win a freaking game because defensively they're giving up 40 points a game. So yes, I do think you should go there, but I'm not going to close the door on anybody like a Mike Vrabel or like another defensive minded head coach if he can put together a good staff.
Is the word out? Do you think that like this is not a place that you want to go? I mean, guys, Dude scrubbed every swear word from Hard Knocks. What's that? What?
Priorities. It's their priorities.
My freaking ears.
What is that?
Priorities. Yes. Yes.
Priorities.
And that's conflicting. That's conflicting priorities too, because Kevin Warren wants the exposure. He wants everyone to see his organization. And then George McCaskey to that point is like, well, we don't want the swears in there, obviously.
I mean, you're flying people on coach, you know, and you're picking them up yourself. You know, I just, again, that this whole like archaic, there's no forward thinking, proactiveness, the edginess, no, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so repeated, you know, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, right? Come on.
If the Bears lose out these last four games, like, what are we going to talk about for four more weeks? Like, if you're in the comment section, like, yeah. I'm asking it and genuine. I know that sounds like I'm being facetious or being glib or just being a jerk, right? Being an asshole. I said the F-bomb 52 times.
Just let it all go.
Right?
Now.
Yeah. Just no, saying, like, as a genuine, like, what do we talk about for four more weeks? Maybe the head coach that's upcoming. Like, I mean, we're still going to follow that search. And Brennan, again, I sincerely hope it doesn't feel like I'm coming after you in any way, shape, or form, dude. Like, you know, I respect the hell out of you, dude. Like, you are a phenomenal freaking writer. You know Chicago Bears football inside and out. I just don't know where this is going. Like, what are we doing here?
That's fine. I mean, dude, it's never personal, and I'm always down to fight. So you're good. I do think it's funny though, because you were the only one, and I don't want to like peek into the, you know, the group chats or anything, but like literally all of us were kind of like, yeah, I don't know. Let's see how this goes with Thomas Brown. Kind of nervous about taking the offense out. And then Ryan is the only guy to be like, no, guys, I'm excited. Thomas Brown might be it. Like, we're going to be okay. And then I think that hope, Ryan, I think you hoped so much that it just got thrown in your face so bad. And now you're like, everything is dead to me because you made the mistake of hoping too quickly.
Well, for sure. But again, I think all of us have had really, really, we've had bad calls. Jack, I'm not harping on you. Jack, you were an Eberflus guy. Brendan, you were the most excited of all of us on the pod about Waldron. And I clearly, Thomas Brown, I was wrong. All of us have been wrong. And I think the hope is that there's more, right? That it's always about the balance, right? You get more right than you get wrong, because everyone's going to get things wrong when it comes to sports. Absolutely everybody. Nobody's going to get everything right. And so, you know what I mean? I just like, but I'm asking in earnest, like, okay, so in the talk we have, we're going to talk about Oreos and Reese's. Heidi, you're amazing. We're going to talk about beer recommendations. Matt, you're amazing. And so, you know, like,
we can bring back Jack's questions. We can
another head coach draft 2.0.
Yeah, we got, but like, let's do a variety show. You know, I mean, what the fudge?
Ryan, I will say, I'm not coming. Yeah, I wasn't coming after you. I'm just saying, like, I only say that because you were excited about that. Yeah, I was excited about Waldron, and when it all went to hell, I'm just like, well, what the hell was I thinking and everything like that? It's more of just like the, for everyone and me included, thinking, okay, things can't possibly be as bad as it was under Matt Eberflus. Maybe they'll compete better. They'll show some effort. And you know, you leave halftime down 24 to nothing. You have 4 total yards of offense in the first half, which is the worst that we've seen in this millennium. It's just one of those like tropes that, you know, to everybody, and there's a lot of people, for the people who are like, well, it can't be any worse than this. Yeah, it can, at least in the interim. And so it's you're right. And I am optimistic now. So I'll probably be the next one to be just having my soul crushed because of the limited hope that I have. It's just a matter of time.
Boys, anything that we missed that we want to cover, that we want to go over? Because I think we pretty much got most of it. We know we didn't talk about the game, but I don't really know as much to talk about with that game, per se.
I think my last salvo in support of Matt Eberflus is to say that the Bears turf was complete shit for decades before one Matt Eberflus joined the Chicago Bears and put the Kentucky bluegrass in there. I mean, you can smoke the bejesus out of it. But no, for reals. And I think Santos said similarly, like, I mean, think about like all the sod that used to come
up. That's like, very fair. Yeah.
Yeah. It was bad. Good job, Matt. Okay. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. I literally said that his best coaching performance, like the one win that you can attribute him to, was his first against the 49ers in 2022. Pretty much everything after that was seemingly in spite of him, it seems like. I know that's not totally the case, but kind of feels like it. Look, the one thing I have, this is for all you fantasy football players, people who want to bet. Guys, the Bears cannot cover tight ends to save their freaking lives this season. It has been a trend that continues to get worse and worse. I mean, Evan Ingram went over 100 yards with the Jaguars back in October. Zach Ertz had a big game when they played Washington. TJ Hockenson, Sam Laporta had two touchdowns last week. And then, of course, George Kittle goes ballistic this week. I think he, I don't even know the final number, is definitely over 120 yards. So my team play the tight end.
Six receptions, 151 yards, and 18.1 points for me. Thank you.
Nice.
Oh, God. So if you're playing a tight end or you want to put some money down, just bet the tight end that's going against the Bears. They just cannot cover them. And there's some good ones coming up. TJ Hockenson again, Sam Laporta, Noah Fant. I think he's back active. And then Tucker Kraft in week 18.
Anything else, boys?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Thank you. We've kept this episode to just under an hour, and I'm ready to go sit on my couch. I am. I'm very excited about that. It's the thing I'm most excited about this whole night. So let's do this. Let's get two shout-outs. Let's go Jack, Brendan, and I will finish it up. Shout-outs, boys.
Oh, you know, the one thing I would say, since we're not doing outhouse and penthouse, is I feel like Kyler Gordon shows up to play every Sunday. I feel like Edwards shows up to play every Sunday. And I think Caleb shows up to play every Sunday. So I do appreciate the efforts of those individuals to continue to show up and play hard every Sunday, regardless of how awful everything has been throughout the course of, you know, obviously this like ridiculously long losing streak. Oh man, I don't have anything specific. Just shout out to you guys. For realsies, because it's been a struggle for, you know, Ryan mentioned it. It's tough. You know, I think all of us are really second guessing the extent to which, you know, we want to spend our time on this specifically. And that's what really the epiphany I had when I was at the, you know, at Soldiers for the Minnesota versus the Bears game, just thinking to myself, like, what exactly are we all doing here? The one thing, you know, that's what I'll shout out. I'm going to shout out Chicago Bears fans, because the one thing that is undeniable to me is like the one entity that does show up for the Bears are Chicago Bears fans. I mean, and not only do they like, they show up full-fledged, face painted, chest painted, the gear. I mean, they're chanting Green Bay sucks, even though Green Bay beats us. I mean, the Bears fans love their Chicago Bears. And so I will shout them out because they're great people. They're in our chat. They're on this podcast with me. And so that exposes the one silver lining of all of this is that in some way, shape, or form, this cluster F of an organization has brought some fantastic people together. But boy, we could really use y'all. We could use your help getting us through these last few games. Like Ryan said, if maybe send us some suggestions on some show topics and some other ways to go to perhaps incentivize us to continue to talk about this, because you can imagine just for a minute, walk a mile in our shoes and think about the difficulty it is to like continue to talk about these types of things, even though we love each other and love you.
I'm just going to make a quick shout out to a good football team that I root for and that Jack roots for, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, because they are officially going to the college football playoffs.
So,
you know, that, I think there was some directional school beat them long time ago. And there's somebody on this podcast who's very, very excited about it. And I get it. It was a big win for them. And since then, the Irish just haven't lost. And now they're going to be playing against Indiana for the right to play Georgia in the playoffs. So I'm scared about Georgia.
And didn't lose a game ever since. And
now we're playing Indiana. Yep. And NIU's in some ragtag, stupid bullshit bowl that, you know, whatever. Yeah, it's fine. NIU got their big win. They had their moment. And good for them. Good for you, Ryan. And now Notre Dame, we get to play with the big boys. And I'm excited. Right. So shout out Notre Dame.
You guys lost to us.
Let's go.
You know what's sad? You know what's sad, Jack? You know what? And this is just crapping on us, too.
Yeah.
This is like the Bears beating the Packers one time in like forever, and then the Packers going like 15-1 to like go, you know, to the playoffs. Yes. And Bears fans would be like, hey, but you lost to us.
Right.
And as if I was in that position, I would totally be doing the same thing. Sure. So I can't even hate.
But at least there's like one of our teams that doesn't suck, Brendan. So we're going to own it.
Yes.
We're going to lean into it.
At home. You lost to NIU at home.
And haven't lost since.
Just keep talking. Yeah, whatever you guys want. Yeah, it was just, yeah, that was okay. A fun win for NIU, my directional school. You know what? There's a couple of people. Matt in the chat. I don't even know Matt's last name, but Matt is hanging out with us every single freaking week. So, Matt, shout out to you. Thank you, gents. Good show. And congratulations. It sounds like your son got a scholarship to Knox College. Did I read that right?
I believe so. Yeah,
so awesome. Matt, like, shout out to you. Big time. That's freaking cool. Shout out to HOH Big Phil. Big Phil and I have had a couple good interactions, and he's awesome. Jonathan A. Hand, he's a good one. Scott Swaziland, he's a good one. I think Jack and Brendan said just like the every one of you for still hanging out with us. And I mean this sincerely, as I think we're gonna do some real digging into seeing, you know, how much effort we're gonna continue to put into this franchise here at the end of the season with all the other things we have going on. We want you to know that we appreciate all of you so very much for hanging out with the Bear Down Chicago podcast. We know you can get your Bears content anywhere. There's a lot of Bears podcasts out there, and we just sure do appreciate you hanging out with us, keeping us sane. Apologize one more time for all the foul language that I had to throw out there, but you know, sometimes the filter's got to go, and so I had to say it. For all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, that's Cam Ellis, Logan Bradley, Jack Wright, Brennan Shagrew, Patrick Sheldon. I'm Ryan Dengel. Folks, thank you so, so very much. And as always, Bear Down, Chicago.